Hello, how you doing? How's lockdown 2.0 going for you? At the moment, I think I'm more aware than ever of the number of people that have contracted COVID. Last Sunday, we heard the sad news that Roma had passed away. A lovely, sweet lady with a real twinkle in her eye. Now, she's at peace with her Heavenly Father. We do not grieve like those that have no hope. Last Sunday, we also heard that George was in a critical condition. And as a leadership team, we've been praying this week for him, for his healing and wholeness. He's making some good progress and we're going to keep on praying for him. It seems now, with all that's going on, it's a great time to discover the power of prayer. Jesus said, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray, he said when you pray. It's as if he never actually occurred to him that people wouldn't pray. What a natural, normal thing to do. In fact, you don't have to be a follower of Jesus to pray. Many people, religious and not, find themselves praying. It seems the most instinctive, natural thing to do, to call out, to say there has to be more to life than this. And whatever this is, surely it's bigger and more powerful than the problems, the circumstances that we face. Maybe you found yourself calling out to the universe for help. Well, I'd say, actually, that's a prayer coming from within you. And you're calling out not only to the universe, but to the Lord of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the source of all life itself, God. So when you pray, don't think that you're losing your mind, that you're speaking to the four walls. You are speaking out beyond yourself to the one who has the power, the means to bring about real, lasting change. So Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Once again, Jesus, so-called meek and mild Jesus, was calling out those who were play-acting the part of being religious. He said, they're hypocrites. Strong, isn't it? They love not the praying, not the God that are supposed to be praying to. They love the adulation, being centre stage, the affirmation of others, the applause that we give. The religious elite think prayer is all about them and their needs and what they're saying. They want to impress others, you and me, by making out their fancy, long, convoluted prayers are better than ours and more deserving than ours. They've even got a special holy voice. Have you heard it? When they're on prayer stage, oh, look at me. I am so holy. They say things like, that thou wouldst render the heavens, that thou wouldst come down. I mean, what does that actually mean? Who really speaks like that? Instead, we pray, God, rip up the heavens and come down. We need you. There's an earthiness about prayer. Now, I know that particular sentence comes from Isaiah, from the scriptures. But actually, it's why I'm so keen that we read the scriptures in an everyday language version. Or maybe the religious elite are trying to impress God with their babbling la-di-da-di prayers, as if they start with the assumption that God really is actually not interested in them or in their situations. He's aloof. He's grumpy. Maybe because they are themselves. And so it's as if God has to be sufficiently impressed before he is deemed willing to respond. All of this, of course, is religious claptrap. Utter nonsense. And unfortunately, sometimes it even creeps into churches too. Prayer is not for the religious elite. It's for the rest of us. It's for me. It's for you too. Prayer is instinctive. It's powerful. It's raw. It's ordinary. It's loud. It's intimate, clumsy, short, silent. Prayer is all of these things and more. And it's ultimately for an audience of one, for God. So Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Jesus was not swapping one set of religious rules for another. He wasn't saying prayer only works if nobody else sees you or hears you. In those days, not many people had multiple room dwellings. We might say it wasn't until the invention of the chimney breast that having multiple rooms became practical. And Jesus wasn't saying that praying on the streets was bad. In fact, some of our most recent and most powerful prayer times have been when we've been prayer walking the streets of Sutton Coldfield and Erdington. What Jesus was saying was whether or not you're in company or on your own, prayer is for an audience of one, for God himself. So it doesn't matter whether your prayers are short, clumsy, full of stutters, ironic, even the odd choice words, phew, managed to avoid that one. You're not speaking to your delicate grandma. You're not speaking to a Victorian age schoolmaster. You are speaking to gracious, compassionate, all-loving God, the Father of all fathers, your heavenly Father, God himself. So when you pray, make prayer part of your habit, part of your routine. In the late 1800s, a gentleman called Smith Wigglesworth was credited with bringing literally hundreds, not thousands, of people to faith in Jesus Christ. He was a real evangelist, and part of his ministry was characterized by miraculous healings and huge kind of faith, audacious faith prayers. Do you know, he famously said he never once prayed for more than 30 minutes. But he also never went 30 minutes without praying. Prayer wasn't so much a ritual, it was just part of his everyday life. As natural as breathing, a natural response. And it can be your response too. Religious Jews at the time pray 3 times a day. Muslims pray 5 times a day. Christians are reminded that through the Spirit of Christ, we can pray anytime, anywhere. But don't let that freedom, that promise, mean that just because you can pray anytime, anywhere, not just at set times, that therefore it drifts and you don't pray at all. Paul gives great advice in Ephesians chapter 6. He says, pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Christians don't lie. You know that, don't you? Except, of course, when they say, I'll pray for you. Just do it. When you hear yourself saying, I'll pray for you, do it there and then. Shoot a prayer up immediately, either out loud or in silence. People's circumstances are not changed by sentiment alone. We're changed by the power of prayer, God bringing all that he has to bear to change circumstances. So what are you praying at the moment? And how are you praying? Maybe you might want to keep a list, a prayer list, on your phone that you rattle through every so often. Maybe you pray through your address book. Maybe as you watch and listen to the news, you press pause after each segment and just pray for those different news items and what's going on around the world. Again, Jesus said, but when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is in heaven. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I wonder if you have a secret place. A place where you go and it's just natural, easier to pray. A place where it's just you and God. Maybe that's a favourite chair. Maybe it's walking the dog. Maybe it's when you're on the loo. Maybe it's your commute to work. Where is that place where you just press pause and are able to be conscious of being in the presence of God? The Greek word for room is tameon, and it means a storeroom where you might keep valuables. Think safety deposit box. When I left school, I went to work for a bank, Coutts & Co, a very exclusive private bank with uber wealthy customers, including the royal family and all sorts of celebrities, media people, industrialists and so forth. You had to be incredibly, incredibly rich to bank with them. On one occasion, I got taken down into the vault, into the strong room, down a whole flight of steps through various doors and gates. And in that room, there was a whole wall of safety deposit boxes, each full of all sorts of treasures, gold, jewellery, bearer stock, which were really old-fashioned bits of paper, which simply said, the bearer of this piece of paper can claim whatever sum was written on it. And it was literally eye-watering amounts of money. Even of greater value were some of the sentimental items in those vaults. A scrap of paper, a love letter, a photograph. It was a room full of treasures. Think about this. When you pray, whenever, wherever, is if you have stepped into that vault, that heavenly treasure room. And each prayer is like a key that opens up this little box here, your safety deposit box. And inside are your treasures. Freedom, forgiveness, healing, miraculous provision, and so forth. Prayer is not about ritual. It is about treasure, heavenly treasure. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Not a monetary reward, necessarily, but a reward in answers to prayer. Intimacy with Him, change in circumstances. So open up yourself. Open up your safety deposit boxes. Take that key. It's as if each of the prayers that you bring is like a key that you use to open up each safety deposit box. There's no point having the safety deposit box stored away with the treasure inside, but we do nothing with it. Open it up. Take out that key, that prayer, and see what's inside. What has God got for you that's a real treasure? Now, to do that, that means opening up. And maybe for you, that means literally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, opening yourself up too. Get over that social awkwardness. Get over the shyness. Get over that reticence to speak out loud or to speak beyond ourselves to God. Take the risk that He's actually desiring to hear and receive your prayer. Open yourself up to Him and all that He has got. Open that treasure. Then Jesus goes on to give a pattern for prayer. Today we call it the Lord's Prayer. It's not just a set way of praying. It's a wall of safety deposit boxes full of different treasure. Now, last October, November, we worked line by line through the Lord's Prayer. So we're not going to do that right now. Again, we took 8 weeks to do that. You can listen to that series. We called it Teach Us to Pray. And it's available at chesterroadbaptist.org.uk/talks. Pete Gregg and his book How to Pray and the prayer course that some of our small groups have done says pray stands for, it's an acronym, stands for P, to pause. Intentionally center yourself again on Christ. Our Father in heaven, blessed be your name. R, rejoice, spend time in adoration and thanksgiving, speaking out your praise to God. A, ask. This is intercession. Give us today our daily bread. And Y, yield. Bring your life under God's authority. Listen to Him. Spend time in His presence. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So this is how Eugene Peterson summarizes it in The Message. The world is full of so-called prayer warriors who are prayer ignorant. They're full of formulas and programs and advice, peddling techniques for getting what you want from God. Don't fall for that response, that nonsense. This is your Father you are dealing with, and He knows better than you what you need. With a God like this loving you, you can pray very simply. Wow. Maybe right now you feel like you're in that strong room, that vault. Maybe lockdown feels like that, almost claustrophobic. Well, maybe in your lockdown, maybe it's time to go to the treasure. Go to the security boxes, that wall of them, and open them up through prayer. Take hold of prayer as a keys, right where you are, and open yourself up to the possibility of God bringing about change in your life, and through your prayers, bringing change in other people's lives too. There is treasure for you when we pray. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are not aloof, you are not distant, you are not grumpy or mean-spirited. Instead, you eagerly desire us. It's not that we first loved you, it's that you first loved us. Thank you. Thank you that we can be in your presence at any moment, alert to you. Lord, teach us how to pray. Lord, teach us how to be in that treasure room, in that vault, opening up those boxes through our prayer. Lord, what are you ministering to us to today? What are you wanting us to minister to others to through prayer today? Lead us, we pray. Give us faith to believe. Test us, encourage us, nudge us, discipline us. Lead us, we pray, that we might be people of prayer, intimately in relationship with you, working in partnership with you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen.